Morning. It's a blessing to be here again this morning. Thank you for those thoughts, Aiden. That's an encouragement to me. It's easy to come in the morning and not be engaged in the worship service and so those thoughts really blessed me. I'd like to open with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you so much for being here with us. We thank you for your love for us and caring for us, Father. Father, I ask that you'd be with me in this time as I try to share what you've laid on my heart. Father, give me words and wisdom to know what to say. Father, we ask that you would just be with Brother Reuben as he comes and bless the message you've laid on his heart. We thank you. We love you and praise you. Pray this all in your name. Amen. So, this morning, I'd like to talk about something that God's done in my life over the last few years, and it's a change of perspective that's happened in my life. And I don't know exactly when it happened, but it kind of got put in front of. I kind of noticed it one day how my perspective on it had changed, and so I'd like to just share a little bit about that. I'd like to begin by asking, who are God's chosen people? Who is God's chosen people? And if you'd asked me 5 years ago, I would have said that Israel is God's chosen people. And I would have cited a list of Old Testament verses to back that up. And for years, I was kind of saddened by the thought that I could not be one of God's chosen people in the way that the children of Israel were in the Old Testament. So who is God's chosen people? So the title of my thoughts are The Church, God's Chosen People. And the truth is that today, we the church, those who are born again, walking with God, we are His chosen people. It's not someone else out there walking against the commandments of God, but it's those who are following after Him. And I'd like to read 1 Peter 2, and I'll read verses 1 through 10. First Peter 2, 1 through 10. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming, as unto living stones, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scriptures, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even unto them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. which in time past were not a people, but now are a people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but have now obtained mercy. And we could go on reading there, but for the sake of time, I'm not going to. Verse 1 through 3 give us the conditions. And if we look in verse 1, we need to lay aside all malice, all guile, envies, and all evil speaking. We must put evil. If we're going to be part of what he's talking about in this chapter, evil has to be put away from us. Verse 2 and 3 talk a little more of the fruit that will be coming from our lives. Desiring the sincere milk of the word. In verse 2, and having tasted that the Lord is gracious. In verse 3. Verse 4 and 5, talking about how we are living stones together, are building a spiritual house. And I'm going to read those verses. To whom coming as unto living stones, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And so, and in there, in the last part of that verse, we see that by Jesus Christ is how we are chosen to be stones, to become stones that are, or that become part of the spiritual house that God is building. And verse 6 through 8 talks about the cornerstone, Jesus Christ, the foundation for the house we build. Wherefore also, it is contained in the scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even unto them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. It also mentions in here how that about the rejection that Jesus experienced that opened it up for us also to become God's chosen people. And then verse 9 is beautiful. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation. And when we are a holy nation, that's not referring to the United States of America. That's not talking about the society we live in necessarily. But it's talking about the church, I feel. And we are a peculiar people. And that gives us the reason. And then it gives the reason. He called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And it says, and that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. And that's why we are what we are. That's why we are those things that it mentions: a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a chosen generation. And then we'll go on to verse 10 here, which in time past were not a people, but are now a people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We're we were not a people. I mean, if you think about the congregation here, the uniting factor of the church is us having been a peculiar people, or being a peculiar people. That is the one common denominator we have, is being God's people. It's not because we were born at a certain place, or that there's something special about us when we were born that brings us all here together. You know, in the past, you know, in the Israelites, many of the ones that worshipped at the temple were worshiping there because of, some of them were there because of where they were born. Others were, you know, mainly because of who they were and where they grew up. But that's not how the church is today. The church today is made up of many different members from many different places. And it makes a beautiful picture of what God can do. And then if we go, and then I'm going to refer back to verse 9 there. And if we think back to the Old Testament, what are the things that God wanted from his people? He wanted them to be a holy nation through which he could show the world his power and glory. And if we read Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6 says, "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." And so if we look in verse 9 at what we are as a church, or as people of God, that's what God wanted back in Exodus from the children of Israel. God's heart hasn't changed. The conditions haven't changed. The difference is Jesus has come and has opened the way for us. And I'd like to read Colossians 3. And we'll start in verse 8 and read down to 14. And I just broke in here. I'd like to read more of that. But now you also put off all these things, all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man and his deeds, and you have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, having the after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. And if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And in that, I want to highlight verse 11. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. God does not accept us based on our DNA. He does not accept us based on where we live or how we were born. God accepts us based on the content of our heart and our actions. So part of this, part of my, the burden of my heart is, as we view, there's a lot of Zionist views in the Christian church today at large, and I feel like it's creeping into the Anabaptist circles. And there's a view that Israel is God's people and they can do what they want to do because they are God's people. And that's a lie. It's not okay. It's not okay for us to be okay with things that are happening in Israel that are wrong. And I'm not advocating getting involved in the politics. I think the Bible is clear about that. But in our heart, we cannot be okay with the killing and things that happen in Israel just because someone says they are still God's chosen people. But just coming back to being chosen of God, I'd like to read 2 Timothy 2. And I'll start in verse 1 there and read to verse 4. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. And the thing which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And God has chosen us to be soldiers in his kingdom. And we are to fight the spiritual battles that of this life. And this should be our attitude in verse 4, that we're not going to be entangled in the things of this life, but we're going to be striving to be soldiers of, to be soldiers for God's kingdom. In closing here, I want us to remember, we the church, the bride of Christ, are God's chosen people. We're the apple of his eye. He cares very much for each of your struggles and temptations. God is very personal to us, and you can be one of his chosen people. And I want that to be a promise that we can take with us, that there's not another level we can reach. Or there's not another level that we cannot reach. We can. There's not another specialness to God that we can't get to because of who we are not. We are born with God looks at us the same, and if we, I'm struggling with my thoughts here, but God looks at us the same, and if we can be as chosen to God and as precious to God as anyone else. And I want that to go with us. Thank you.